everybody. Thank you so much for being here. This is our annual candlelight vigil for those who have been impacted by an overdose. Internationally, we call this International Overdose Awareness Day, and there are over 300 countries around the globe who are honoring those who have been impacted by overdose. And for us, every year, we have the opportunity today and this week and this month to meet people who are willing and trusting us enough to share their story. They're sharing their story about how they've learned about SAFE. They've shared their story about their loved one who has been impacted by an overdose. And oftentimes they share their story about how they're really, really dedicated to finding a community of people who have been impacted like they have. And every year, Jim and I come into this day on the August 31st, and we don't really know how it's going to end up, right? We don't know how many people are going to come. We don't know how many people we're going to stand shoulder to shoulder with. And I think Jim and I are both always really honored that every single one of you show up to honor those who you have lost. And every year, even though we do this over and over again and we know it's coming and we put down the flags and we put out the social media posts and we talk to folks, it doesn't really ever get easier, right? Because every year, there's still flags. There may be less flags than there were the years prior, and that's something that we do want to honor, but it doesn't mean that there aren't any. And so it is with deep honor and appreciation that you are here, and know that all of the loss that you have felt and the grief that you feel and the reeling of emotions are not on their own. That every single one of us is here because we've all felt that, and we all have this part of ourselves that wants to feel that connection of hope and grief at the same time. And today we're doing something a little bit different. For all the years that we have hosted this vigil, Jim has always shared his personal story. And Jim's story is so important to who we are as the SAFE Coalition and how we move through all of the work that we do. And we're really excited to have another staff member today at this vigil share their personal story. But before we do that, I'd like to turn it over to Jim so he can share a few words as well.
Good evening, everybody. Thanks for coming out on such a beautiful Labor Day weekend Sunday for me and obviously for you all is a really important remembrance, International Overdose Awareness Day. My name's Jim Derrick. I'm a co-founder along with Jen Knight Levine of the SAFE Coalition. And I just wanted to share a very, very quick story about what happened to me the other day. And what continues to happen happily. We started off with our overdose awareness events, was it 6-7 years ago? About 7 years ago. And I can tell you that when we first started planting flags, it was Jack Flynn with the Franklin Police, myself, and maybe one other person, Steve Sherlock, out here planting flags. And honestly, as we expanded and went town to town, it became very hard to do because there were only a few of us. I came here the other day to plant flags, and I had nothing for me to do. There were just an amazing amount of volunteers here planting flags. Moms and dads with children, grandparents, cousins, uncles, aunts, some people that weren't impacted directly but felt compelled to come out here to support those of us that have, with the understanding that when we lose somebody or when there's an overdose in the community, it impacts the entire community. And I cannot tell you what that did for my spirit. I ran right back to the office, I sat with Jen, and I said, "You won't believe what just happened." Because that, to me, has been the goal all along. It's to increase the opportunities for connection among our community, because we know that connection is the antidote to addiction. Connection is the antidote to those of us that grieve. Connection is the antidote to so many things that we grapple with in life. And to see people having conversations about what this illness does with children on the Franklin Common on a Friday morning was honestly stunning and so rewarding. And I got to reconnect with an old friend who I'd met years and years ago that we now share, unfortunately, a common bond in both of us having lost children to this illness. And then I just happened to be up in New Hampshire over the weekend with my wife. And sure enough, I wind up having a conversation in this inn with a couple. And the minute I brought up overdose awareness that we were coming back for this event, their eyes fill up. They had a connection to it. And on it goes. If we keep connecting like this, the grief that people carry is lessened or at least shared. The understanding that this is an illness is magnified. And we're raising up healthy young people that know how to connect with each other and how to do so with love, dignity, and respect, and void of stigma. And to me, that's a huge win. So I can't thank you all enough for being here today. So with that, I will introduce our speaker today, and I'm going to let him speak for himself, but sorry, I beg your pardon. I didn't connect on that. So with that, we will start with our opening prayer.
Hi, I'm Doreen Otten with the Franklin Federated Church. Before I became a pastor, I worked in addictions treatment, and the clients I had that died of an overdose is still in my heart. I still think of them and carry them with me. We gather in this community space, as Jim noted, with hearts both heavy and hopeful. We come to remember and honor the lives of those we have lost this year to overdose. Each name, each face, each story is precious. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? O source of all love, hold us now in your divine presence. Surround us with compassion as we grieve. Strengthen us to bear witness to pain and loss. Kindle in us the light of love that refuses to let stigma or silence have the final word. May this time together bring comfort to the sorrowing, courage to the weary, and renewed commitment to care for one another in the struggle for healing and hope. We know that it is through the cracks that your light gets in. So may we not despair overmuch about the brokenness of the world and in of ourselves, but instead connect with one another through those tender places. Let us be light in those tender places. We ask this in the name of the one who is love, present among us always. Amen.
Hi, everybody. My name's Anthony, and these are my children that are running amok, and my beautiful wife, Sarah, is over there. So I... very humbled to be here. I'm very humbled that Jim and Jen asked me to speak tonight. So I personally haven't lost anybody in my family from overdose. I am a recovering addict myself, and I am an overdose survivor, and I'm here because of Narcan and the community finding me and calling 911 and Narcan being administered. And I lived a long time very sad and depressed and hopeless and afraid and obsessed with what people thought about me and just lost. And I didn't know any of that. I didn't have the emotional intelligence and the emotional support to kind of like live out here with all of you. I just wasn't well equipped for it. And I found alcohol and drugs in high school. And I went from just a straight A student to just a knucklehead. I barely graduated high school. And it was just an instant personality change. And I went through the progression that a lot of us are too familiar with. And by the time I was 20, 21, I was a full-blown opiate addict. And I found recovery at the age of 25. I found through a 12-step fellowship. And it was an amazing experience. And I had a sponsor, and I went through the steps, and life got better. But I was 25, and the problems weren't that big, and there wasn't this level of desperation that a lot of us need to have in order to change everything about themselves and have this entire personality shift and the spiritual experience. I was about 60% in at that time. 60% in is good enough, though. I stayed sober for a couple years until I stopped doing the things that kept me sober. I stopped going to those meetings. I stopped working the program. I stopped sponsoring guys. I stopped working on a relationship with a higher power. And I picked up. I went back out. And I was relieved by the fact that if this didn't go well, I could just go back to that 12-step fellowship. But that was wrong. It took me 7 years to go back to that 12-step fellowship. It took me hell. I had to just absolutely go through hell in order to be willing enough to go back. And so what happened was, you know, 7 years later, this guy was around, and I was supposed to pick him up that day. And I went and I used in the morning and I overdosed. And I was Narcan in my car and I was brought to Landmark Hospital and I couldn't go pick him up. So I had to tell somebody. And that resulted, so I got clean, I came clean, I got honest. And that resulted in a year-long restraining order where I wasn't supposed to see him for a year. And that brought about a level of desperation and willingness that I had never had before. I just addicts and alcoholics, there's this window sometimes where their lives become such a situation where we become just desperate enough and just willing enough and just honest enough to get help and get this thing. And that window opens about this big, and it's only open for a short amount of time. So that window opened for me when that happened, when I learned I wouldn't see him for a year. And I went back, that's when I went back to the 12-step fellowship. And I raised my hand, I cried like a baby, and I didn't know what to do, or I was just lost and broken and desperate and willing, very, very willing. So that meeting, I met a guy that was doing this for 5 years, and he was a dad and he was married, and he just took all that stuff very seriously. And I asked him to sponsor me, and we got to work. And I got back in this kid's life after 3 months instead of that year. And then fast forward a little bit, I have full legal and physical custody of this dude. And I have a life that is absolutely incredible. A series of miracles happened my first year of sobriety, which, you know, getting back into his life, meeting my wife. The little one came a couple years later, and just something happened in that first couple months where that desperation and that willingness to change, like, it just blew open. And I was finally able to see the truth, and I was finally able to heal. And going through the steps, I really learned how to love myself and how to be comfortable in my own skin and to treat those underlying issues as to why I used. Drugs and alcohol really weren't the problem. My problem was my reactions to my problems. And with that, I needed to fix that. And I, through a community, a team of people, we were all able to get together and work on Anthony. And I just, you know, we were planting the flags the other day, and it just, like, you know, there's some time behind it now, that overdose, and I sometimes take for granted that I have such a beautiful life, but planting those flags, I could very easily be one of those flags and not here with you guys and my beautiful family. So my heart just goes out to people that lose people through this disease. I hope my experience can offer hope to you if you have somebody still suffering. You know, through the 12-step fellowship and through, you know, doing stuff with SAFE, I've found a purpose in life, which is to not worry about myself so much, and to who can I help. And I'm uniquely qualified to help addicts and alcoholics. And if anybody is struggling and needs support, I am happy to connect with you and to be of service in any way that I can. That is all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anthony. So Anthony has joined the SAFE Coalition as an individual who has lived experience and wants to provide Narcan training to our community. And within about a week and a half of Anthony working with SAFE, he has gone out and trained probably over 100 folks on Narcan and shared his story. And tomorrow, for the first time ever, Bridgewater State University is doing a first-year program with all freshmen, where every single freshman tomorrow at the Freshman Experience, 1,000 children, or, well, 18-year-olds, will be trained on Narcan. And Anthony is providing that training as someone with lived experience. So often when we hold these vigils, when the stories that we share up here are about someone who has passed away from an overdose. And I think what Jim and I want to share are two things. That one, not everyone who's impacted by an overdose has passed away. And that is still a really impactful thing for us to talk about. And secondarily, that the impact of overdose, whether it's a life lost or a life lived, still has a place in conversation that honestly usually isn't found around a friend group that hasn't experienced that type of situation before. And we really want to highlight that the antidote, just like Jim said, to addiction is community, is connection, is recovery. And so today what we want to do is we would love for everyone to go over under the tent, get a candle. We have some real flame candles and some battery operated ones, because over the years we've learned that when we try to light our candles, they go out with the wind. And then we're actually all gonna face the flags. And we have one more testimonial to share from a young woman who actually made all of the ribbons that we're wearing today. So feel free to go grab a candle or a battery operated candle, and we'll meet you back at the flags. Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.